prayer on this Wednesday night. You can remain seated if you would like. That'll be fine. I'll just read this one verse. But and chapter 8, I made mention of this verse to someone last week and have not been able to get past it. And it's been a blessing to my heart to think on and chew on. And if you're a child of God tonight, this ought to encourage you. Look at verse number 26 with me. Paul is writing here, of course, and he says, "Likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities." Here it is. "For we know not what we should pray, for as we ought, but the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered." Isn't that a blessing? Thank the Lord for it. Father, we thank you for your word. We're so grateful that we have a copy of the Word of God. Just a few weeks ago, I heard a story about people in North Korea who were willing to give their life for their Bible. Lord, here we have a Bible. Access to many Bibles, likely. And we so often neglect it and let it collect dust. God, forgive us. Lord, I thank you tonight that we can have freedom tonight to meet in this place and consider the Word of God for a few minutes with your people. Bless our time together, and we'll thank you in Jesus Christ's precious name. Amen. What a wonderful joy. The ministry of prayer is something in the unseen realm that honestly just blows my mind. When we read these words in Romans 8:26, we are actually looking at a scene in Scripture having to do with the ministry of prayer that is in the unseen world. It is the supernatural world. You know, when we gather in this place, or when you are in your home, when you're with your family, or when you're at your job, wherever you may be when you pray, there is a process that you go through. Your voice is lifted. In many cases, there's a posture that you might have. And in many cases as well, there are certain words that we may even express as we pray. But that's what we hear. That's what we know of. Have you ever considered the fact that while you and I are in prayer, there is a battle that is raging in the supernatural world? There is an underworld to a degree, an unseen world that is taking place while we pray. Would you look at the verse again with me, please? Verse number 26, Romans chapter 8. "Likewise, the Spirit," and right there it is, "the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities," our struggles, our battles, our challenges. It's referring here to the battles that we are having. We're bringing before God, and we're bringing them, and we're on the battlefield of prayer. And it is here the Bible is telling us that the Spirit of God helps us through these things. And then he goes on to tell us more, these struggles, these infirmities. And then he makes a statement that every one of us can identify with. "For we know not what we should pray, for as we ought." Now, have you ever been in that spot in your life, your prayer time, you just didn't know what to say? And it's not a matter of you not just knowing what to say, but you didn't know how to say it. In your mind and in your heart, you understand what you're trying to convey. Have you ever had a conversation with somebody and the words come out of your mouth? You say, I don't know how to say this. How shall I put this? All this kind of thing. And in prayer time, it's the same thing. You know what you're trying to say, but you just don't know how to say it. The Bible's telling us here that that is when that underworld, that supernatural world, really does go to work by the good guys. Now, the bad guys are fighting you even before you go into your time of prayer. The bad guys, the devil, hell, the demons, they are trying to make sure your phone rings to keep you out of it. They are trying to make sure that you trip on your way to your prayer closet. I say that from experience. They are trying to make sure that they do everything they can, maybe with your children, maybe with your spouse, that something comes up that is going to keep you out of going to prayer, because prayer is the only thing that's going to change things. And there comes a time when you can't do anything else. And you've got to rely on the ministry of prayer. See, the bad guys are at work literally all the time to hinder our prayer lives. But then sometimes we get into the presence of God and we get into prayer with Him. We start calling out to God. And then you are faced with that infirmity, that challenge, that battle, that burden that you are carrying that you do not have words to communicate. You know what the burden is, but you just can't say it. And just as you're talking to a friend, you're talking to God, "Lord, I don't know how to say this." And the Bible tells us that it is in that moment for the child of God that the good guys come. And they engage the bad guys. Because we don't have the ability to say it. Our words are not coming out. That's when the Lord steps in and He makes our request known unto God. Now you look at the verse a little bit further with me. For we know not what we should pray, for as we ought, not knowing how to pray, sometimes not even knowing what to pray, but here it is, the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us, I love it, with groanings that cannot be uttered. A language that you couldn't even understand if you could hear it. That is the depth of the prayer that our Lord takes for us when we don't know how to pray, we don't know what to say. That's the depth of what it is. Have you ever been talking to somebody before and they just start using a bunch of words you don't understand? We were playing a game some time ago and a word came up having to do with a wrinkle. And like a facial wrinkle or something like that. And I forget what it was right now. Arruga. Is a wrinkle, apparently. Something of that nature. And the word came up. Like, I don't know what that is. I studied today and I read some translations of some words that were coming out of the Hebrew text. And I was studying that and I thought, I've never heard of that word, even in the English translation before. I had to dig deeper into it. But there are some times that you don't understand words that are being said. And that's what our Lord does. He takes words to the Father that describes our need, our infirmity, that we couldn't understand even if we could hear them. So with that said, when we look at Romans chapter 8 and verse number 26, with that said and with that in mind, let me tell you what came to my mind just a few days ago, while I was in my prayer time. God was giving me a sweet, sweet time of prayer, and the thought hit my mind of how thankful I am for the ministry of prayer. And I think that's overlooked a whole lot in the life of believers. We ought to be thanking God for the ministry of prayer. You know, so oftentimes when we go into prayer, we thank God for this. We thank God for our family, our roof, our food, and we should. We absolutely should. But when was the last time that in your prayer time, you spent a little bit of time just thanking God for prayer? The privilege of prayer. The opportunity of prayer. I started thinking about that a few days ago, and I wrote down a few things about how thankful I am for prayer. And I just thought I would share them with you for a few moments tonight. First of all, think with me about this. I am thankful for the place of prayer. Now, I understand that I've used this verse of Scripture a lot. We'll probably look at it for another purpose next week again that I've been thinking about and praying about. But we're familiar with that wonderful passage of Scripture, Matthew chapter 21 and verse number 13. You know it. where the Lord said, my house, it's going to be called a house of prayer. Isn't it just a blessing to know that this is a place that we can come to? It does not matter if it is before the service has started, if it is during the middle of the prayer time, if it is at the opening hymn, if it is during the special song, if it's in the middle of a message or at the invitation or at the end of a service. Isn't it a blessing to know that this is always a place that we can have liberty to come to and fall down on our face before God? It's always the right thing to do. It is always the appropriate thing to do to be able to come to this spot and call on God. It's a place that is set aside for prayer, and we've said it many times, it'll change our lives when we learn to come to the house of God with prayer in mind. Coming here with the intent. We're praying on the way to church. We're praying when we're in the parking lot, coming up the ramp, the steps. We're praying when we come in here. We so often don't do that. But this is a place of prayer, he said, my house. It should be a house of prayer. It should be a place of prayer. Could I reiterate to our hearts again, folks? There is never that inappropriate time to pray. You're not going to derail the service by coming to pray. The service may go on as scheduled. It depends on how the Lord's moving. But it is always appropriate Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, any other time during the week, to just come into this place, fall down before God, and pray. One of my great burdens is for people to circle around this pulpit and pray that the power of God and the anointing of God would rest on this place. The sacred desk is the place where the Word of God is declared. God's power is needed. If there's ever any other building option that we ever have, something that I want up underneath the platform is a place large enough for a man to crawl up under and pray there in the middle of a message. Prayer, a place of prayer. You see, prayer makes a difference. Prayer changes things. And God has given us a place, a very special place, where we are able to gather here and pray. We ought to take advantage of that very thing. Pray. I'm thankful for the place of prayer when we think about prayer. But secondly, think about it. I'm thankful for the people of prayer. Oh, I love the story that we have often studied before that unfolds in Acts chapter number 12. It's in that passage of scripture that we are seeing one of those beautiful and vivid pictures in all of the Bible of the church as a body coming together to pray for a need. And you need to go read it and study it one day if you've not already. It's a glorious story that we see. God's people were in trouble. Peter was in trouble, but the church of God, it came together to pray. Amen. We've always heard the stories, haven't we, about how there's power in numbers? Do you understand? It's no different in prayer. When God's people lock arms together and they come together for one common goal, one common person, purpose, God shows up in such a unique and special way. That's why I still stand by the fact that some of the most special and precious services that we have, they are not the services where we have a great music service. They are not the services when even we may have a powerful message that someone has delivered. They are the services when God's people from left to right, front to back, are calling out to God in prayer. The Spirit of God comes, and it's a precious time. It is a special time. But I'm thankful that the army of God can come together in prayer. There is a place set aside for us to come, and there is a people set aside, God's people, to come. And listen, nobody should ever make fun of anybody coming to pray. Can I take it a step further? In many churches, and I trust not here, but in many churches, people will wonder, what's wrong with them? Why are they up there praying? You know, that topic was on adultery today. I wonder. I saw them talking to the cashier strange at Walmart. Don't worry about it. There are some things between man and God. The best thing you or I could do when we ever have that temptation to make such accusations in our minds is to fall on our knees ourselves. Dad has told me many times after all of his years in the pastorate, he said that he never had problems that he could think of with anybody in the church who was on their knees in prayer. Never. It makes a difference for somebody. And I'm thankful that we don't poke fun of people. We've had people praying so long around here. I'll never forget the day. There was an old boy right down here praying. He prayed literally from the song service all the way through. And it was almost 1 o'clock when church got over that day. Still praying here. And we just left and locked the building up. Just left him. Let him pray. Let him call out to God. It will make a difference in our life when we begin to learn the power of prayer. And I'm thankful that I have a place of prayer. I'm thankful that I have a people that aren't going to poke fun of me. They're not going to look down upon me if I fall on my knees in an altar and pray. So I'm thankful for the place of prayer. I'm thankful for the people of prayer. Number three, this may sound a little strange to you, but I'm thankful for the problems of prayer because it produces the purpose of prayer. And what I mean by that is our problems sometimes keeps me in my prayer closet. The one person that finds themselves in some of the most dangerous circumstances of life is the person that is on a successful run in life because all of a sudden they think that they can make it on their own. The person who is struggling is the person so often that is closer to God than the one that is successful over here because the struggles keeps them in their prayer closet. It keeps them on their knees before God. And so therefore we really can be thankful for the fact that we have problems because our problems keep us close to God. Sometimes we spend our time in prayer, don't we? Asking God, remove my problems. God, take this away from me. And I know that's our flesh. I do it, you do it. I understand all of that. But it is those problems, it is those struggles that really manufactures and it even materializes, it fine-tunes the purpose of our prayer. God uses issues that come into our life to show us the importance and the purpose of staying on our knees in prayer. So I'm thankful when I think about prayer. For the place of prayer, for the people of prayer, for the problems of prayer, because it reveals the purpose of prayer. But number four, I am thankful for the promises of prayer. The promises of prayer. And in God's Word, in John chapter 15 and verse number 7, you probably are familiar with this. These are the words of Jesus. If ye abide in me, and my words abide in you. Now, here's the thing. That's what has to happen before the next part of the verse is even relevant. Do you understand that? Look at it again. John 15 and verse number 7. If ye abide in me, you're in communion with God, you're close with God, you're walking with God, you're in the presence of God, you're right with God. You are pursuing what God wants in your life. That's what he is talking about. In other words, if you abide in me, you're so close to the Lord that you are practically in him. You're experiencing his closeness and his presence that much. And so oftentimes we miss that first part. If ye abide in me and my words abide in you. My words, what's he talking about? The Word of God. This is how God communicates with us. Is the Word of God. We communicate with Him through prayer. He communicates with us through His Word. He says, if my words... Are you obeying everything that the Word of God has to say? You know, we're in a series called Tough Topics for Today's Church. Now, we've only talked about one, but God willing, Sunday morning, God willing, we're going to look at a second one that's going to be uncomfortable for us. But we're going to see how serious we are about the Word of God abiding in us. Has everything to do with our prayer life. Why? Well, he tells us right here. If we abide in him, his words abide in you. Here it is. Ye shall ask what ye will. Now, I like that. He says, you can come to me in prayer and you can ask whatever ye will. Whatever you want. Whatever you want. And here's the secret. if you're abiding in Him and His Word is in you, you're not going to ask anything that is outside of the will of God, because the Spirit of God living within you is going to detect that, and He's going to say, don't you take that before God. That is a prayer of flesh. That is a prayer of selfishness. When you are abiding with God, His Word's abiding with you, you're right with God, you're not worried about self. You're not worried about what you can get out of the deal that is coming. And He lets us know, you can come to Me and you can ask Me anything as long as you are abiding in My Word and you are with Me. And then He says, and it shall be done unto you. God says, I'll do it. You will only ask Me what aligns with My will. And in aligning with My will, I will do it. I've come to the place in my life, I don't want anything outside of the will of God. Nothing. Now, there's been times in my life I prayed for a bunch of stuff. I was by no means abiding with Him. I was by no means obeying everything that I possibly could, humanly possible, that I have an understanding of God's Word, doing my best in that. I was by no means right with God and in His Word, abiding by His Word. And there are things I asked God for. They were totally selfish, totally out of the boundary of what God had. Obviously, God did not answer those prayers. But I tell you what, if you persist in that, you might be surprised. God will say, all right, I'll give it to you. I'll let you have it, and you'll spend the next days, weeks, months, years being miserable because you pushed God into something and you tried to twist things around. You tried to make something happen when God wasn't in it. And by the way, the Spirit working within you will tell you when you're trying to make something happen that is not aligning with God. May I remind you today, God does not need your help. He does not need my help. You abide in Him, His Word's abiding you, and you ask whatever aligns with the will of God, and God's going to take care of what you need. He knows what we need. He knows what's best for us. And I'm grateful for that. I'm thankful for the place and the people. I'm thankful for the problems that shows the purpose of prayer. I'm thankful for the promises of prayer that we can look to and rely on. But I am also thankful for the peace of prayer. The peace of prayer. Just simply letting me know. Letting me know that I'm there. The Lord's presence is there. Philippians 4:6, it talks about how that we should be, we shouldn't, the word is actually translated anxious there. We shouldn't have anxiety. We should be careful, but anxious for nothing. Don't have any anxiety. The peace of God, the peace of God will keep your heart and mind in Christ Jesus. See, when you go into prayer, there is a peace that comes out on the other side that you've done all you can do and you've done your best to call out to Him. Just some things in prayer that I'm thankful for. And I thought that I would challenge your heart with them tonight, just as the Lord challenged mine with them this past week. I sure am grateful for you being here tonight. We'll be dismissed here in just a minute, but